Good morning. How are you? I'm going to try and get through today. I've got a little raspy voice, but it's okay, right? It's okay. So just stand to your feet. I want to pray for us. Is that okay? And grab your Bible or your iPad, iPhone, whatever you do. And we're going to pray. Father, thank you. You are so good to us. So very, very good. You're such a good, good Father. That's who you are. And I'm grateful, and all of us are grateful, that we are loved by you. That's who we are. We are daughters, your daughters. And so, Lord, this morning, I just pray that you just speak through us. We're going to be talking to a couple girls, and I just know that their story is going to help all of us and encourage all of us to stay the path. Lord, thank you that you place us in a community of amazing women believers. And as we walk this out side by side, we strengthen and encourage each other. I pray we'd never underestimate the power of each of our stories and our testimonies. Holy Spirit, we invite you to be here and just to beautifully minister as only you can do. In Jesus' amazing name, amen, amen. So give someone a Bible high five, iPad high five, iPhone high five. What am I talking about? I don't even know what I'm talking about. So, here we are. So before I get started, I know you guys celebrated a little bit last week, but how amazing was Devoted Conference? Who was at Devoted? And again, I just want to remind each of us that this truly is a gift to us. And if you weren't here this past Devoted Conference, can I encourage you to register? I know Alyssa already talked about it, but get in, get your seat. Just make sure you are here because God does something so beautiful and so specific on those few days. And I promise you, we all walk out different. We all walk out just impacted by the Holy Spirit of God who just profoundly does something in the midst of us girls. And it just reminds me how special we are to Jesus, how very, very special each and every one of us are. And it's easy because life comes at us with a lot of stuff and it's easy just to get caught up in the craziness of all that and forget that there's a God in heaven who truly, madly, deeply loves and pursues us and really wants us to walk into a life that is not, I promise you, he doesn't wave a magic wand and make everything go, you know, all our challenges go away. But what he does is empower us to stay the path. He really does. And I believe something just amazingly happened through those few days. We had incredible speakers who just spoke into each of our lives. But even it's more than just, you know what I mean? Like you can go anywhere and hear a good speaker. And I'm grateful to God that, you know, we prepare and work hard to bring the very best here. But it's even more than that. It's just God who shows up, you know. And I just want to say a big thank you to all of you who prayed diligently because we did. We prayed for this conference like we haven't prayed before. And even next year, we'll take it up another level because I want his kingdom to come. I want his kingdom, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's my heart for our conference. It's actually our heart every time we gather, both here and at church. But I know God has given this to us as a gift. And you know, when someone buys you a gift, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, you know, you kind of leave it there because sometimes you're not sure, should I open it or not? But I just want to say, don't leave it there and wonder, should I, shouldn't I? Absolutely go, thank you for this gift. I am diving in. And I hope we live in the memory of what happened, but also I hope we look ahead to God. You're just so good. And what you did here was so special. And I know what's coming is as special, if not even special. God does a new thing every time. So it's good. So I'm going to ask Gay and beautiful Katie to come up here. And just before I start chatting to them, I'm just going to read a beautiful psalm, Psalm 91, because we're talking about staying the path. And you know, that sounds easy when everything is great, but you know, when life throws curveballs at us, when things come that are unexpected, when we've prayed and trusted God for a certain, you know, situation and it doesn't kind of pan out the way we thought, we wonder, don't we? Do we all wonder, God, where are you? Do you care? Is it only me that's had that thought? You know? And so I just thought I'd read this amazing psalm, Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you. Isn't this beautiful? Just think about, you know, the imagery of this. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, the challenges that come, right? Nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and if you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. How beautiful is that? Psalm 91. So this morning, we have some gorgeous girls up here. I call them girls because I think we're all girls. We're born a girl, we stay a girl for the rest of our lives, right? So even though people want to say, I'll never forget, and I think I've told this story, I was in a store just a few years ago, because even though I've just turned 54, it's like crazy. Oh, and I've got two grandbaby girls come in. Can you believe that? Since Devoted, I found out that I have two grandbaby girls that are about 6 or 7 weeks apart. And you know what's really weird, okay? Have you ever kind of, does life happen sometimes and you're like, okay, God, how do you do that? Okay, so when Steve's sister had the first grandbaby on the Kelly side, and she had a little girl, and 6 weeks later, I had a little baby girl too. So it's like history repeating itself. Isn't that kind of crazy? So it's like, God, wow, how does that happen? But only God, right? So yeah, that's my news. And yes, so I was in a store and I heard someone came in and asked the lady behind the counter, I'm looking for so-and-so. And she said, oh, have a look over there by that lady. And I heard her say that and turned around and went, oh, what lady? And then realized, oh, I'm the lady. You know how that kind of sneaks up on you and you're like, I'm a girl. Oh, now I'm a lady. I've graduated to lady or woman or whatever. Anyway, in our world here, we're girls, okay? Gorgeous Katie, and she's got a journey of, in fact, she is almost 14 weeks pregnant with a baby boy. So that's very exciting for Katie. I know, so thrilled. And she comes from a family of all girls, so I think your dad is doing little backflips and is excited about a fishing buddy.
So excited.
Yeah, I know. But we're going to talk today about a journey, a health journey that Katie has been on and is still on. And so I know that's going to just speak to and minister to you as she has navigated that with her faith. And the beautiful Gay Tehenchuk, many of you would know Gay, but we're going to ask her some big questions about the journey she's been on and, you know, her faith in the midst of that. Is that okay? All right. So, beautiful Katie. Katie was diagnosed, you'll have to tell all the girls all the medical terminology, but you were diagnosed with something called JRA.
JRA.
Okay, so and that was when you were 13?
When I was 13.
Okay, so just tell the girls, what is JRA?
JRA is juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, so it's basically swelling of joints. It's swelling of joints, a lot of pain, migraines, fatigue, stuff like that. So when I was 13, I was diagnosed with that, and then...
And just tell the girls symptoms, what happened that you ended up finding out about that?
So it started with my knees just really aching, and at first I thought maybe I'd injured myself in PE or something, which is stupid because I never did anything in PE. So I thought I just injured myself, but over the course of months it kept getting worse, and so my knees and then my wrists and then my ankles, and so everything started to get involved, where it would be painful for me to walk upstairs or button my pants or do anything normal, really. And so that was pretty tricky as a 13-year-old, because you're like, well, what's going on? When is this going to go away?
And what did they say? Did they say, well, we can treat this and it will go away? What were the doctors saying to you?
They were like, because it's juvenile rheumatoid, some people do grow out of it, some people don't. We don't know. There's no cure. There's nothing we can give you that's going to make it disappear. So they started me on some medicines, just, kind of lower grade stuff, pain medicine, and were hopeful. They're like, well, we can maybe manage this. We'll see. But they never were like, yeah, we got this. So that was cool.
Now, I need to tell you, I forgot to tell you that Katie and Luke are some of our youth pastors in our church. So they oversee our amazing youth. And Katie, you've been in our church for how long?
10 years.
10 years. Mm-hmm. So how have you navigated that with your faith? You got this diagnosis. And then when you were 19, so we'll mm-hmm. just kind of just add a little bit. When you were 19... you went back to the doctor and there was another kind of a diagnosis. Mm-hmm. So what was that?
When I was 19, I kind of started to feel a little bit better at the end of high school. And then my first year of college, all of a sudden I started getting this really terrible back pain where I wouldn't be able to stand up for long periods of time, or my head felt too heavy to hold up. So I would basically be bedridden. And it could be weeks before I felt normal. And so there was a lot of fatigue and I just didn't feel right. And so I went to the doctor and they're like, yeah, this does not look good. We think you have something called an undifferentiated spondyloarthropathy, which is a mouthful. But basically it's rheumatoid arthritis, but it also affects your spine and it can affect your lungs and your heart and other, bodily systems. So they started putting me on some pretty heavy medicines at that point.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about those medicines and you kind of shared how strong they are. Do you want to tell the girls the kind of
sure.
medicine you've been on?
So I tried a couple different ones. Most of them were injections. I would give myself or have a friend most of the time give me an injection once a month, and those didn't work. And so we started this medicine that is actually what they use as chemo medicine. And I would actually have to have Brooke give me the injections.
That's right, because one of my daughter-in-laws, Brooke, roomed with Katie prior to you guys being married. Mm-hmm. So Brooke was giving you the medicine.
She was having to give me my injections because I was too anxious, because I knew it was going to make me so sick. So, yeah.
Wow. So maybe talk about your faith journey. Mm-hmm. Finding God in the midst, trusting God in the midst, the questions that you had, God, mm-hmm. I'm believing and trusting you. Maybe just share that journey.
So at 19, I had been in church for about 2 years. I was very strong in what I believed. I knew that I could trust God. I knew that He loved me. I knew that stuff. Like, I knew it. But on the other hand, when you're in bed for weeks at a time and you just don't feel like a human at that point, it was a lot of why, like, I'm doing everything right. Like, I'm leading a connect group, I'm serving in church, I'm praying, I'm reading my Bible, I'm worshiping, I'm doing all of this right. Where are you? Why am I not doing, is there something wrong with me? Am I not doing this right? And I just remember reading, my Bible, which is good to do, but I was just reading in Matthew 11, and it's kind of a verse that's really stuck with me, and it's when Jesus is saying, come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdens, right, and I will give you rest. And it kind of took a while for it to sink in, but it's because I wasn't getting any rest. My body didn't feel rested. But it hit me one day that, okay, no, your soul needs to be at rest. You can trust in God. Let him take over the burden, and he will give my soul rest. And so I started to realize, okay, if I believe this, if I really believe that God loves me, I've got to trust him. I've got to put my faith in him and know that he does care. He does see me where I am. He sees me when I'm having really bad days and not coping well. And he loves me anyways. He's going to walk me through this, but I have to trust him. So,
awesome. Well done, Katie. You know, I remember those days because I remember at the time Josh, you know, my son was dating Brooke and Brooke was rooming with you. And I remember times when Brooke obviously was giving you the medicine, but also there were doctor visits in Richmond that, and she was driving with you, yes, just to visit doctors. So, you know, it's been a long journey. And then they kind of finally landed on some meds that all worked together that have seen you. Because I remember, you know, prior to you getting married, you were so sick. And it just was relentless, wave after wave. And we were praying for you. But obviously you have had a support system. Obviously, yes, you've been married
almost five.
Almost five years. Yeah. Gosh, it goes so fast. And I know Luke is one of your biggest cheerleaders, but just talk about that support system when you, because on days when you're feeling really low, you need the right people around you. So who have that, who have they been for you?
So this basically forced me to be vulnerable with people. And you know, the people who were in my connect group, Alyssa, was my connect group leader through a lot of this, and she would send me texts like, hey, how are you doing? How are you really doing? I'm praying for you. Or like Lauren Riddle, who is the young adults pastor, would text me, hey, how are you doing? Are you okay? And so my friends in connect group, my leaders, the people around me, and obviously Luke, just knowing that they were there, that even if I wasn't necessarily ready to be talking about it a ton, that they were there and they were still praying for me, that was huge. Because, you know, my family isn't super, like, they're not really Christian. You know, they don't come to church. They don't necessarily get it. And so I kind of didn't have, like, as much support as, you know, I could have maybe if that were different. But just having my friends and having Luke be there and just really like, hey, are you doing okay? Because I wouldn't tell them otherwise. So,
yeah. And I think you hit on something really important. You said, you know, you had to be vulnerable. And I think that's where we kind of trip over ourselves, is that we, you know, it's one thing to put on a brave face and, you know, that's all good. But it's another thing to have people in your world where you can say, you know what, this sucks today and I don't understand it and I'm just having a really hard time and I just need you to kind of carry me today. And I think, Katie, well done for having those right people in your world, because you sit here today, you know, obviously because of Jesus, you know what I mean? You've hung on to him, but also you have surrounded yourself with great people. And often, you know, we can get a diagnosis of something or life happens, and what do? Very often we shut down and retreat because, well, I haven't been healed, or this isn't going the way I think the fairy tale should go. But Katie said, I just was vulnerable with people. And I think that's just a great lesson for all of us, no matter how young or old we are. That never goes, just being vulnerable and saying, hey, in my humanity, can I just stick my hand up and say, this really is really, really tough. So you're on this baby journey. And I just want to commend you again, because we just had, you know, we were having a conversation. And, you know, obviously when you're taking strong drugs of any kind or medicine of any kind, and then you're thinking about having a child, that's a big journey. So maybe talk to us about that. What did that have to look like? You know, when you knew, okay, we really, Luke and I really want a baby. But I'm on this medicine. So what was the journey of that?
So like I said, the medicine I was on was really strong, really kind of heavy stuff. And it's known to cause severe birth defects. And even, you know, months and months and months after you've stopped, it can still have those effects. And so I had to be off of medicine for a full year. for them to like kind of clear me, be like, okay, well, you can go ahead and try now. And so I kind of just decided, okay, well, we know we want to have a baby relatively soon. I'm 26. I'm an adult, kind of.
I still think the same at 54. I'm adult, kind of.
Yeah. So I had to fully get off of everything, including any pain relief, everything. So it was kind of scary going off of them because it was kind of familiar. I knew that if I took this, I'd probably feel decent most of the time. And then, you know, to be like, oh yeah, okay, well, we're not doing that anymore. No medicine. It was kind of scary, but well worth it. So. Yeah.
And they didn't know if you would get pregnant? Yeah, how long it would take?
They weren't sure. They didn't want to say definitively either way, but they said, you know, sometimes people with your condition can have a really difficult time getting pregnant. And they weren't telling me, like, hey, you're not going to. But they're like, you need to be prepared for that to be your reality. Yeah. So
don't you love how Jesus is just beautiful? Because mm-hmm. in the midst of all this, now a little boy is on the way.
Little boy.
And they say that when you're pregnant, your body kind of responds really positively, right?
Yeah, I've been feeling really great even off of the medicine. They said that pregnancy can be like one of the best times for you if you have an autoimmune disease like mine. So that's really good.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. And so, you know, we've even talked about, you know, what does that look like with a baby getting what Katie has and what have the doctors said?
So we did some genetic testing just to, you know, kind of look into it. I didn't necessarily know if I wanted to pass this on. I was really kind of struggling with, okay, if I have a baby and I give this to them, is that fair, you know? So we did the testing, and I do not have the gene that could be passed. So, yeah.
Oh, it just makes me teary, doesn't it? Because, you know, sometimes these journeys, you are just trusting God with this stuff. And, you know, a lot of girls said this morning, oh, I didn't know Katie had, because, you know, she just does this so beautifully. You know, she's, she reminds me of a gorgeous English, like, sophisticated, like, you know, she carries herself so beautifully, and yet in this, there is a fight going on a daily basis. So I just want to say I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you, and I'm so excited for this little boy. Oh, I got to get it together, you know? I'm just such a crier. I just love when I watch these girls who are so brave, and they just trust Jesus, and they do the journey well. You know, they're listen to doctors because, you know, the medical world helps us, but they trust Jesus in the process. And I just think, well done, well done. So I can't wait to see this little boy. All right, so we'll have a chat to Miss Gay over here. And a lot of you would know Gay's story, but I just think it's always worth sharing, you know, and some of you would be new to this. So Gay, let's talk about your journey. How long have you been on this, your journey?
Well, we'll talk about the time went from Bill's diagnosis to now is 16 years. And I count these years because this journey didn't stop because he passed away. This journey continues and there's new things that I face, but I face them with a partner. And it's Jesus. He's been so all-sufficient for me. I cannot tell you. He surprised me. He surprised my socks off is all I can say. I sometimes go, wow, I didn't even know you were there and there you are.
Yeah. Awesome. So just tell the girls what the journey looked like. So Bill was diagnosed 16 years ago with
prostate cancer, which is generally curable. His first PSA meant that it was already advanced. We had no idea, no symptoms. So we were very shocked. So we took it pretty hard. We had to get back to ground zero and really had to search our hearts what we believed. Before we came here, we were in a Word of Faith church. So sickness was not really what you were supposed to have because we believed you wouldn't, okay? And that's okay. That was good. I'm actually thankful for that because the word was pumped into both of us at that time. And that's what we fought all of our fears, all of our sorrows, and all of our moments when it wasn't fair in our eyes. And so we walked through the diagnosis, and you always have to keep your eyes open, I have found, because even when the diagnosis was done, that we got the diagnosis one day, the receptionist in the office was a Christian. And now the phones rang off the hook, and I didn't know what would happen. What was going to happen? I thought, we're in there crying. Both of us were boo-hooing. We boo-hooed really well. I mean, look, you know, didn't mean I didn't have faith. I just was boo-hooing. It was sad. I didn't, cancer, the C word is a dirty word. It's not four letters, but I believe it is. Yeah. It's a curse word. It's a curse word. Nobody wants it. But this receptionist came in and she said, I felt that you had a diagnosis you didn't like. I don't know why. Maybe we were crying loudly. I'm not sure. But she came in and she says, I want you to know the word of the Lord for you. And I go, I'm ready to hear it. And she said, you can go through this with God at your side, and he's holding your hand right now. She recited some scriptures, and all of a sudden I went, yes, we can. Yes, we can. It doesn't matter how this turns out. God is God, no matter what I think he should do. Because I really tried to boss him. I tried to boss him during this time. Here's the way it should work. This is how it should look. And I will be happy with this result. I didn't give him an alternative sometimes. And then I'd be praying at night and I go, okay, God, I surrender. I surrender. Because you are God and I am so not you. And I so don't think like you.
Yeah. Amazing. So again, you guys have been so brave. What are some of the key things that help you stay the path? First of all, the diagnosis, then treatment, and then Bill passes away. We were all praying for him to be healed, and he ultimately was. He's now in heaven. But, you know, what... You know, we talked a little bit upstairs about your faith being rattled. So what are some key things that helped you on your journey? And then when it was really shaken, how did you get up again and go, Jesus, I trust you?
It was, and this is not a cliche, it was the word of God. Because if you don't stand on the word of God, because that's what it says in the word, it doesn't return void, it doesn't return empty, but it's going to perform that, you know, which it set out to do. And there were times, I mean, he'd get a test result, and I'd always go for the test result, and he'd get angry, I'd cry. And the doctor would always fish for the tissues. I'm just being real here. And so I would stop, and I would go, okay, I've cried enough. Now what are we going to do about this? How are we going to lick this? How are we going to... And we had a great doctor that was positive. So... usually I would come from work and go back to work, and Bill was in another car. I'd call him on the cell phone. I said, so how are you feeling? I'm not doing well. So I said, okay, well, that's all right. I know. And I'd start quoting scriptures because, you know, our faith comes by hearing the word of God. And who better to tell you the word of God than you speaking it? So I would give him a scripture and I'd hear the sniffles stop. You know, but I wanted to cry too, but I'd already cried in the office. My job was to stay the course, stay the path, know that God was always there, no matter how I felt or what it looked like, what the report was. And then I'd sing some song, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Well, I'm a terrible singer. So that would get him laughing. And it was good. You know, you have to have some laughs during this journey. But Bill and I, we played like Bible bingo on those nights, and we turned the TV off many times, and we put on Joyce Meyer tapes, anything that had the word, and we'd get fired up, and we'd have to do that about 3 or 4 times a week, you know. And we went through the journey of chemo, and then I just knew Bill was going to be healed, like here, and that he was going to be alive, and I would not be doing this life without a partner. And so it didn't happen. And I remember coming back to church saying, And they called for people to be prayed for. And a thought would go through my head, why are you going to pray?
Right.
You prayed for your husband how many years?
Right.
Nothing happened.
Right.
Nothing positive happened. And I thought, yeah, I knew that was not a God thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
I knew that that was from the pit of hell. And so I thought, you know what? God didn't give me a spirit of fear.
Right.
But he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just because I had different results, different things happened. He didn't follow my prescription that I gave God because I told him what the parameters were. I said, I'm getting up there and I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to pray for
well
people.
Done.
And you know, church was my salvation. I came when I didn't feel like it. I lifted my hands and praised God through tears. And I get a little choked up about it, but God met me. God met me. And I thought, you are so good. He gave me opportunities. I would go, it wasn't even a year, that I would go to the hospital and people were dying. And I thought, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm not really finished grieving or anything. But God would give me a word for them or just be there. And I just felt, you've got something someone might not have. And you can pray, girl. You can pray. You can speak in tongues. Because I certainly didn't know how to pray. And I didn't know what to do. But I chose to look at God in a positive way. I did not point the finger. It was the doctor's fault. Not everybody prayed enough. I didn't have enough faith. You know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he loves me with an everlasting love. And the good news is he still loves me today. And I chose to have bookmarks, stones in my life that I remembered that were good. You know, the Bible says, think on these things, whatsoever things are good, pure, of good report. I thought on those. I get up every morning. If you notice when I'm in prayer meeting, I start off, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I get up. I talk to myself in the mirror. It's a good day. You're not in your pajamas. You get up, you go. You go, girl. And I am with you. And I just felt a little tug from heaven that he's with me no matter what. And I can't point at any one thing. It was no comfort to me, and I'll be very honest, that Bill was dancing in heaven. I was a little bit mad at him. I was always your dance partner, so why are you doing that up there? I'm not sure, but I will get over it. I'll meet you up there someday. But God has been good, and through this, I've had friends that I went on vacation with Larry and Doris. You know, we went to Vegas and Grand Canyon. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But I have had so many good things happen, and I chose not to dwell on those things that were bad. And if people didn't come and see me, it was up to me to make my happiness. And I just looked to God.
Because I remember you saying that. There were friends that you and Bill had, you know, together that, well, they kind of went by the wayside. So that so much changes when you lose a spouse. You know, it does. One of the things I know you, and again, Gay, you've been very brave because you'd come into church and there were all the memories of doing church life with Bill sitting right beside you. They're tough moments to navigate. And a lot of women, whether it's that or a marriage breaks up or something, they just won't, you know, it's a moment where you have to push through and decide, I will be here. I will praise the Lord. I will, like you were saying. I also remember the night Bill passed, because he passed, and I think I only shared this with you last year, actually. But he passed in like the early hours of the morning, early hours. And so Steve and I came down to see you and the family was all there. So we pull up out the front of, they're just little God moments that you just go, wow, God. So we pull up the front of the house. It's pretty dark, pitch black. And literally we get out of the car and there's a bird in the tree singing at the top of its lungs. Like it was just a random thing. Now, maybe the bird does that every morning, but I choose to believe, no, it was proclaiming, today, Bill Tehechuk has entered heaven. Like it was just this glorious. And I think I only told you a year ago and said, Gay, I'll never forget that as long as I live. It was like, the earth, God's creation just talks about him and rejoices in the fact that eternity is very, very real. So girls facing major life change, what's one word of advice you would give them?
Stay in church. Choose that God is good all the time, whether it looks like it or not. The other thing is don't isolate yourself. Get up and get going. Whatever God puts in your hand, do not disqualify yourself. He put some things in my hand that I tried to give back to him. But you are his girl. He loves you with an everlasting love. A God that knows the number of hairs on my head, I'd say that's a pretty awesome God. And always look for the good. Find the gold. Find good friends that you can call up. I've invited myself to Larry and Doris's house a few times. I've called a few other people up and say, I need to come over to your place tonight. So get some friends in your life. Tell someone when you're not doing well. Don't suffer alone. Have them pray. Have them pray with you. And when you wake up in the middle of the night, as you do when something major's going on, I tell you what, give the devil a black eye. And what you do is you pray. And if you do not have if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, get it. Because, honey, that's the only way we make it through this life. You do your shandalas all you want, because it confused the devil. I didn't know what to pray, so I'd pray that. I go, if I'm awake, I'm praying. And I thought, I got to sleep a lot more because I don't think anybody wanted me awake. I would pray. I mean, my kids moved in with me and all. I'm sorry, I'm going over, but they'd see my light on in the middle of the night. I said, I decided. They said, are you okay? I said, I'm not crying. I am not crying. I am reading the word. I am doing something that builds me up because God is here. God did not, there is not a mistake in this. He knew I would be left behind. He knew he was going to help me and I need a lot of help. He knew all of that. So whatever that looks like, I'm yours because I went blindly. I was in such a fog. But just pray. When you don't know what to do, don't complain. Pray in the spirit. Oh, I prayed over my bed. I prayed over everything. Oh, it was glorious. I had a great time with God during those nights. Yeah.
So good. Can we thank the girls?